And the medic gets out and says, "Oh my God." A new guy's in the corner puking his guts out.
"Dear God, Brian, it is time to move on, man. And we've been going on with this skit for like 4 weeks now. We are going to watch a new movie and do another review, okay?"
Okay, fine, fine. Jeez.
What do we got?
We got The Predator.
The Predator.
Yep. Grab your popcorn. Okay. Welcome to Grab Your Popcorn. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me is, of course, my co-host, David Kalisa.
Well, hello there. Long time no see.
Yes, it's been a little while since we have done a show. Sorry about that,
no,
folks.
No, that's okay. It happens. We had a few holidays come up and a few other...
Sickness
and everything like that. But we are back on track and here to give you some more entertainment.
Yes.
And also... we got a new movie this week.
Yes. And it was one of these things where we kind of brought it up where we were like, "Hey, what are we actually going to review this week?" And David, you were like, "Hey, how about The Predator since it came out and blah blah blah?" And I was just like, "Yeah, I watched it in theaters." It's like, "You watched it?" Like, it's fresh in our minds. Not to mention, you and I know we are both fans of the Predator series.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. That's definitely
and the Alien series as well. Especially we enjoyed the crap out of the Aliens versus Predator movies.
Yes.
Especially when they actually made them rated R.
Yes.
Because like, wasn't the first one PG-13 or
yes,
something?
Yes. AVP one was PG-13.
Like, seriously, you can't make an Aliens and a Predator movie without having it be rated R. You have to show them killing the crap out of people.
Somebody in production severely dropped the ball on that and did not listen to all of previous experience. And,
well. The reason why they do that, though, is because it is completely provable that PG-13 makes more than rated R.
Uh-huh. It's also completely provable that they're wrong and it should not have been PG-13.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, do we want to make a good movie or do we want to make a movie that makes more money? And they will always go for making more money for the most part. Sometimes they actually do try to make a decent film.
Well, you know what? Deadpool has proved them wrong, shown you that you can make a really good rated R film and rake in all the money.
Talk about a Hangover and like all that kind of stuff. And I mean, most of the best comedies out there are rated R as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you on that. So,
but
what we got here is a good comedy action filled movie.
Yes, which is actually a different thing than a lot of the other movies as far as the Predator series is concerned.
Yes.
So let's run through like the actual Predator like line here. We're not including AVP because it's kind of an offshoot and nobody really counts it as like part of the main storyline.
No, and I think if they were to include it, they would have mentioned those incidents like they did, you know, with the other movies.
Yeah.
You know, during the one particular scene.
So we got Predator 1 starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
We've got
Arnie.
Predator 2 starring
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover, which was an interesting difference.
But phenomenal.
We have Predator starring Adrian Brody.
Yes, the pianist.
Yes. And now we have The Predator.
Starring a upcomer.
Yes. I mean, and actually, his name is currently eluding me. What is the dude's name?
He is McKenna. That is his character name in the film.
Boyd Holbrook. And so, yes, I get confused on some of the names just because they all kind of have weird names and it's like, you know, McKenna, but yeah, his name is Quinn McKenna in the story. He has a son, Rory McKenna, and he meets a group of people who are all very interesting characters, but let's actually go through,
touch on the plot a little bit.
Yeah. Let's touch on the plot a little bit.
All right. So in this one, a ship is being chased by another larger ship. It's actually a predator eluding or trying to escape. And, of course, naturally, just like all the other ones, they end up back on Earth as usual.
Because, yeah.
Because that's where it is.
Because reasons.
And you know, when he crash lands in, of course, a jungle setting, McKenna is really close to the site.
Yeah, they say it was like Central America. It was like
Yeah.
Mexico or southern part of Mexico or like... Honduras or Guatemala or someplace like that.
Something like that. Just some picture some tropical little foresty and whatnot. Just,
yes.
You know, picture Predator 1.
But close enough that he could eventually walk to
a town.
Like a city that was definitely more northern Mexico.
So he has a run-in with the Predator. He actually was able to knock him unconscious. He steals some of his gear and ships it back home before getting captured and brought back to a base to be interrogated.
Yes.
And while he's being interrogated, what?
I would like to point this out.
Yes.
The interrogation scene is one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
that is just chock full of great one-liners and the camaraderie between the guys behind the glass and everything. That is just, that's some good writing.
The best line for me, though, is when they ask him, you know, if he's dangerous.
I'm a sniper. Isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah, except he says it a little bit more colorfully.
Yeah, yeah.
He says it so well. It's honestly his best line in the movie for me. Because, like, that, but that entire interaction that he has with those people is so well thought out on his part. And it showcases that he is a good soldier. He is a smart guy. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
But he knows when to shut his mouth, and he knows when to not say anything. But when they ask him, he's like, do you ever feel, you know, like you don't belong on this planet? And he goes, you mean a little alien?
Oh, yeah. He's
something. Like, oh, yeah.
A little side note before we get a little bit too more into the plot, what I thought was funny, he takes a couple little devices and keeps for himself before he gets captured.
The mask?
Yep.
The armband
and the camouflage
ball,
which he swallows so that it can't be found on him.
Yes.
What I wish would have happened, which I thought would have been a great piece of commentary or like comedy for the movie, is while he was sitting there, is if somehow it activated while inside of him. like if every time he burped or something like that, he'd go invisible and then he'd reappear.
That would have been actually pretty funny, but definitely non-essential to the plot.
No, not essential at all.
So yes, they capture him and they interview him and they try to figure out if he saw something. They determine that he did, and they need a reason to cover up what actually happened and why his unit got killed. And him being a soldier and like kind of, you know, It's got built-in deniability for them because basically they can be like, dude's crazy, he's got PTSD, he's gone insane, killed his own unit.
Yep.
And like, so very simple explanation.
Yep, he has now become the patsy for the government, and so they put him on a bus to go to another facility.
With a bunch of crazy people, otherwise known as Group 2.
Group B.
Group B, yeah, that's what it is, Group B. And he's like, what is that, some type of unit? He goes, no, it's like therapy group in room B.
Like group A, but shittier.
Yes. In the meantime, though, what also happens is the Predator is disabled and also captured.
Yes.
Like the one who was shot down and who killed his team.
Right.
And that Predator is taken to a facility where they analyze him and they try to figure out some stuff. And this is where they then throw in references to the other Predator movies, which I thought was super cool. It was very great.
They took screenshots from the previous films, like in the jungle, and then like they did a screenshot of when the Predator's climbing the building.
Yeah.
And the second one, you know, did like, you know, name specific years and everything like that. And so you get to this facility, you see that, you know, he's the Predator is being examined and whatnot. They bring in another supporting character.
By the name of Casey Brackett, played by Olivia Munn.
And she is this female doctor, biologist, if I remember correctly. And they have brought her in for better terms, as they colorfully put it, to find out if somebody fucked an alien.
Yeah. So the cool thing about it is that They establish her like as sort of an expert on there, but I almost wonder if like the group that's examining that Predator is the same group that what's his name worked for in Predator 2, the one who were hunting him.
I guarantee it is. You know why?
Why?
Because Gary Busey's son is the doctor, and his last name is Keyes,
which is the same guy. So yeah, I knew there had to be some kind of reference there. I just didn't know what it was.
There's Gary Busey's son and his son
Jake Busey. Yes,
and, yes, Jake Busey.
Look, hey, I just found it right here. Although there was no mention, although no mention is made in the movie, the character Keys, played by Jake Busey, is the son of Peter Keys, the government official from Predator 2, who died during the hunt for the Predator.
Boom, shakalaka.
He didn't just die. That dude got sliced in half.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's there's no coming back for him.
It says Peter Keys was played by Gary Busey, who is Jake's father in real life as well. So there you go. That was the first thing in the trivia for the Predator on IMDb.
So that is a great tie-in for any Predator fan.
Yes.
You know, especially if you have the second one pretty fresh in your memory. You're like, that name sounds familiar, and of course the face can look familiar because that dude inherited his dad's teeth
yes.
and mouth feature like no other.
Yeah.
So there's no denying it. So they are examining him. They're trying to get her to figure out, you know, why he's mutated, why he looks the way he does.
Yes.
And while this is going on, the main Predator ship that was in pursuit of him has now located where they're at.
The kid who got the stuff from his father ends up taking it back and activating some of the stuff, the features on it.
Yep.
Mind you, okay, other basic setup for this point. The kid is on the autism spectrum. They don't specifically state where, I don't believe.
No, it's never specified.
But he is definitely listed as a high-functioning autistic child with savantism.
Yes.
So he has a savant ability to memorize and see patterns and like that kind of stuff. Because they do this in the beginning where an alarm goes off and he's freaking out, and then these kids come in and like they mess up the chess matches that he was watching.
Yep.
He then proceeds to
put all the pieces back
exactly where they were before everyone got up and left.
And then the other thing that they mentioned to add on to the fact of his memory capability, when his mom comes home, he has a stack of puzzles and mazes and books standing, you know, sitting next to him. And she asks which one he did, and he goes, "I did all of them."
Yes.
In that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a few little plot points going on that have not crossed paths yet, but you get the basic setup.
Yeah.
And then
dude's on a bus with a group of crazy people. Doc is in the thing with the Predator, and the kid has just accessed alien technology.
Boom. There's your sci-fi flick ready to go.
Your catch-up right there. So this leads to all of the action into the rest of the film.
Yes.
So we start out with the Predator that is unconscious wakes up and starts just royally messing with these people.
The coolest thing that like the very first like piece of violence that the Predator does that I thought was cool was he actually hurts somebody with the mouth claws or
yeah.
teeth, whatever you want to call them. It's like none of the other films had ever touched on that. Mm-hmm. It's always just been for show and like, you know, for scare factor, but he actually does bodily harm with him very quickly.
Yes.
And then escapes from the table and starts his hand-on-hand brutal combat dismemberment.
Until he finally gets a weapon and then he starts shooting everyone.
I don't know if I'd call that shooting. That is some just straight up, he just flings the gun across the screen with some bullets. I've seen better accuracy with a shotgun at 100
true,
feet.
True. But he is using like crazy, you know, like, well, for him would be primitive technology.
Oh, that's true.
And like actually has a trigger. Most of the things that they use don't have triggers.
It's automated.
Just, yeah, it's all automated and like that kind of stuff. But this is where you then get the classic Predator type moment where the Predator doesn't kill anything
unarmed.
That isn't a threat to him or is unarmed or whatever. By the fact that
the doctor
Casey is trying to escape, but in order to escape has to go through decontamination. Decontamination requires her stripping off her clothing and then being decontaminated, and then the door will open and she can exit. While this is going on, the Predator shows up, sees her there cowering, and doesn't kill her, and that's because Predators don't kill anything that they aren't hunting.
Correct, and it is super creepy. I noticed this the second time around watching it. The door that he got through where she was voice activated. You hear the voice come back around and it's like it's being revised and redone multiple times until he gets the tone right. And then it opens up and when he walks through the door, he drops something on the floor. It's the dude's throat. He used the dude's throat to get the voice cords right so he could open the door.
So there you go. Yeah. And then he proceeds to just keep killing and trying to escape.
Well, he does.
Casey grabs a tranquilizer gun, mm-hmm. which looks a heck of a lot like a stormtrooper blaster rifle, and proceeds to chase after this thing because why not?
And somehow keeps up.
Yes. She's super fast, even though this thing is like capable of running 100 meters in like 4 seconds.
And all she is a biologist.
This is one of the points where I'm just like, okay, but wait, why did this happen? And that is when the bus of crazies shows up in this area.
Like, why are they there?
Yeah.
Because that's where Project Starscream is based out of, and that's where they were being taken to get, like, interviewed or whatever.
Ah, okay. It was just one of those moments where maybe I missed something but
I don't know if everyone on the bus was supposed to be there, but definitely Mechanic, since he saw alien stuff. So they were going to interrogate him and then kill him once they found out everything.
So I must have just missed a point there in the film where it was explained, or at the very least, I mean, it was hinted at. But yeah, they all show up and McKenna's just like, all right, we got to do something about this because this thing slaughtered my team and blah, blah, blah. And they're all just like, holy crap, this dude's not crazy. He actually did see an alien, a giant like 6 foot killing machine.
And, you know, before all this, you know, crazy ensues, you got the entire bus scene where you are being introduced to what is going to be his quote unquote new team for
new
the rest
crew,
of the movie.
Yes.
And boy, did they do some really good casting for this crew.
Yeah.
We'll go
into the actual cast stuff later on, but let's just say it is definitely anchored by Keegan-Michael Key
and Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane and then who 50 Cent?
That's not 50 Cent.
Oh, who am I thinking of then?
I don't know. His buddy, the smoker, you know, that's who, you know, they're primarily paired up with and whatnot. They kind of become sidekick buddies and whatnot, but
yes.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, Alfie Allen is in there as well.
50 Cent would have been a good cast for him, though. I think he could have done well.
Who am I thinking of then? What was his name in the movie?
It was a state. I can't remember.
Nebraska.
There you go, yeah.
Where is Nebraska? Why is he not on this list?
Okay.
Oh.
That?
Trevante Rhodes.
There you go. Yeah, that's what you said, right?
Yeah. I'm way off.
I could have
swore it was
They got some similarities. I can see where he got it from. But no, that is not 50 Cent. And so they do some really good setup with going through character development with them and giving you an understanding of just why all of them are on that bus. So when the Predator escapes, they see it off in the distance, and they hijack the bus. That way they can start tracking it so that they can, hopefully in turn, they can kill it. And, of course, that fails. They cross paths with the doctor, who accidentally shoots herself in the foot with the tranquilizer gun, rendering herself unconscious. And they end up, you know, finding cover in a hotel while everything's going on. And the Predator is still trying to find his gear while also eluding what is coming for him.
I'm still just hung up on the fact that I was so wrong. God, I'm usually exceptionally good at remembering people's faces, but for some reason this one, like, I don't know, like he had some of the same mannerisms and stuff.
I'm telling
too.
You, I totally get where you're coming from, man. They got some similarities.
I guess I haven't seen 50 Cent in a long time, and so like I just kind of placed it in my head. I was like, man, I feel so bad about
that.
It's
funny
too.
Though, but now that you say it, I think that he would have been a good cast for
him. He would have been a good cast for that one.
If they would have been able to get him.
Yes.
So, we fast forward a little bit and
This is basically the rest of the movie though.
Yeah.
Is them hunting down the first Predator for the most part. Like
and also trying to get back to his family.
Yes, and also trying to get back to his family. So we're like, this is all the real setup. So let's not like give away absolutely everything.
That's
for
fine.
This.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of great action scenes and that's the real bread and butter of the movie. There's a lot of great like one-liners and stuff throughout the film, but needless to say, the bulk of the story is them first trying to hunt down the first, predator. And which then leads, once he finds out that, you know, the thing is going after equipment and gear, which is the stuff that he took from it. He's like, oh, crap, I got to get back to my family. Finds out the kid took the stuff, murders some dude who threw a can of, like, beer or something at him. Like, and the thing automatically defends him and blows him up. The other big predator releases the hounds, right?
Yes, correct.
Yes. So the super predator, that's what I'm going to call him from now on.
Super predator.
Super predator. That's good. He shows up, releases the hunting dogs to hunt this stuff down. They then have to fight the dogs. They kill one, severely injure the other, and basically lobotomize it.
That's exactly what happened. They lobotomize it with a bullet to the brain.
It was that wasn't even a bullet though, was it? It was like a nail gun or something.
No, it was a bullet. It was a handgun.
Oh, was it? Because it didn't look like a normal handgun to me.
I'm fairly positive it was.
I might have to go back and watch it again just to make sure. But I thought for sure it wasn't just like a straight bullet to the head. But maybe I'm completely wrong. I've been wrong about something else apparently. but they release the hounds. They have interactions with them. They finally catch up to the first predator, and they're trying to figure that stuff. And then right then, that's when Super Predator shows up
and completely destroys Little Predator.
Just annihilates him.
I mean, like, no contest.
Yes. and
it's like Arnold versus Rick Moranis. I mean, it's just size difference in everything.
Okay, so this then leads to, like, the other interactions with the Super Predator, like, back at like, his ship.
At his house.
Doesn't he take the kid?
Who? The Super Predator?
Yeah.
That's at the end of the movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The big long stretches of fight scenes that go on, or, you know, gun battles, them trying to, like, kill the Super Predator and all this kind of stuff, then leads to back at his ship where
he actually you finally get to have a device that translates predator language into human language.
Yes.
And he sends out a wide broadcast to the area that they're at, that he is only there for one person. He will give them time advantage, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And he's like, I am also here to destroy the ship. You cannot have it. Well, fine then. Just be that way. What a dick. So blows up the ship and gives them like a seven and a half minute head start. And they go through the woods, and now ensues what I feel is like a, not a full on, but a slight homage to the first Predator movie, to the original.
Yes.
You know, you're going through a wooded area. Granted, for this one, it's dark, and, you know, he starts picking them off one by one, you know, starting from the back, and they're trying to defend themselves while, you know, keeping you know, the kids safe and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some really neat kills in that scene, for sure.
Yes, definitely a cool way to kind of showcase all of them.
Yeah, so you get to see some of the Super Predator's powers, and of course they do.
I tell you what, though, the one kill that the couple of kills that the Super Predator does is with some of the henchmen in the house when he's like in the basement. The one dude shows up and starts shooting down, and he just like spikes the dude through the floor, then grabs the other dude, and he doesn't just stab him once. He's like stab,
times.
Stab, 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 stab. But it's like, oh geez, like that's overkill.
It is a super violent scene, but that is like totally perfect for the franchise. It is 100% totally.
It's like, this is what happens when a predator isn't just trying to hunt. This is what happens when a predator is just trying to kill.
And what seems to be, like, super pissed off.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So they get through the forest, and a lot of death ensues. Some a little hokey, some really neat. And
some very heroic.
Some very heroic. And then, of course, you know, as most movies do, the... rounds it off with a abduction, and you find out that the predator is actually after his kid.
Yes, and not anybody else, because he says he wants McKenna. He didn't say which McKenna.
Yep.
They just assumed that he wanted to go after
the soldier
and not, you know, the kid who's the super genius.
So McKenna's son gets kidnapped, and him and the rest of the crew that's left track him to the ship and infiltrate it and bring it down. And then, of course, as all Predator movies end, is the final battle one-on-one on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, between human and Predator, which was pretty okay, except the only thing that I had against it was how we just talked about. I mean, this Super Predator had some of the most violent and, you know, craziest kills in probably in, you know, the whole franchise so far.
Yeah.
And when he fights McKenna and the Doctor, he's just like tossing them around.
Yes.
I feel like there should at least have been like one limb ripped off or something, but he's, you know, just throwing them around like it's a wrestling match. And
yes.
It's like, where did all of it go? Did you lose energy? Like,
yes.
What happened?
So, needless to say, our heroes overcome in the end, as does every single hero in all of these movies. The kid is rescued. The Doctor is safe. Everybody's fine as far as that is concerned. And this is where you find out that the first Predator wasn't just coming there to hunt people down. He wasn't coming there for any he wasn't just trying to survive on his own right. He was trying to help humanity out by giving us technology that we could then use to fight these super predators.
Which was, I think, a really neat aspect of the story. Because once again, you know, this is, you know, the Predators came out back in 2010. So it's been almost 10 years since, you know, one for the full franchise. And, you know, director of the film, Shane Black, he did good by throwing in a lot of new stuff for the franchise. And
also mentioned that Shane Black was in the first Predator movie.
As Hawkins.
Yes.
The first one to die.
Yes.
So, but no, I really enjoyed the fact that, you know, that was a good little twist on the story that, you know, with, you know, find out what they're doing on the planet of, you know, hybridization and modifying their genes and whatnot. One of them felt like, you know, just, okay, it's time to even the playing field a little bit. We've been picking them off for years and years now. And so they open up this dormant escape pod that did not blow up at the scene. And this little device comes out of it. And when it came out with the stuff that was dripping off of it, I thought it was an alien.
Yeah, I thought so too, man.
I was like, why did you send that here? Like, that's not going to help us. Like, you just ended all of us. Like, they're screwed. I was like, of course, they're going to kill the kid off first. But the little device attaches to one of the scientists. And the craziest looking, I'd say it looks like a Predator samurai suit.
Yeah, definitely had that kind of a vibe to it.
Just fully engulfs this scientist and comes out with blades and like seven shoulder rockets on it. And like every other doctor in the whole lab has lasers on it and everything. It's ready to go. And then it deactivates and falls off.
This is the type of thing that like Iron Man would develop if Iron Man was just meant on killing.
God, that would have been so awesome. That would be so cool.
And I'm talking like even an nth degree, like above War Machine, because War Machine is all like, oh, I got like 1,000 guns. This thing's just like, I have 1,000 guns that will actually kill you.
That would have been the coolest.
It's like, you see this tiny little blade thing on my arm? Yeah, this fires out and can shoot through like 15 people and then come back to me, because that's how awesome this thing
you
is.
Saying that right now, seriously, I probably would have lost it. That would have been the greatest sort of Easter egg ever if on the side of that pod, if it said Stark Industries.
That would have been so bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, like, there would have been no way it could have been possible, but oh, my God, if that would have happened, it would have put it in the top of my list for sure.
All right. So let's get down here to some of the other finer points of this movie. So first off, this movie was made by 20th Century Fox, which of course has made like all the other ones as well. It was released September 2018 and a runtime of 107 minutes. Its budget was $88 million and its box office was $160 million, which probably means there will be another Predator film after this, but I don't know if it will star the same guy. Probably not, because they haven't done that ever for any Predator movie whatsoever.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point, now that you mentioned that. No, they have not. No one has been carried over from any of the franchises, even though there have been survivors.
They've referenced.
Yes, they've referenced, but they have not once reintroduced the character back into the film.
Yes.
Now,
not once.
Now, if they decide to end the franchise on the next film, that would be the ultimate way to do it. If they get all the survivors from the previous movies to come together, and that's what makes the team.
I would so watch that, especially if like it was all Arnold? Instigated by Adrian Brody.
Doesn't matter. The fact that they got
bring back Adrian Brody. That's all. That dude is a star, as far as I'm concerned.
But no, that I think.
But
that,
yeah, Arnold, Danny, Adrian,
Shane Black. If you listen to this, there's your idea.
There's your deep pockets.
Like, you're welcome.
That one. Get freaking whatever. Boy, whatever his name is, the dude, that guy, Boyd. Yes, Boyd Holbrook back as McKenna. It's like, and the four of them.
Yep. And instead of a team of six or eight, like you normally do, just cut it down to a team of four. The four survivors.
Yeah.
Against whatever final wave comes back.
It's like the weirdest like Expendables type movie. Let's go ahead and bring Sigourney Weaver back. It's like from the Alien movie.
She's married to one of them.
But she's not Ripley. She's like somebody else. But just have her in there. You know, kind of like they did with the Aliens versus Predator with what's his name, who was Bishop in the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that was a reference to, you know, the Whalen Corporation or whatever. It's like who then later on does all the other crap. Like, yeah, let's do that. Sigourney Weaver's great, 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 great grandmother or whatever. Like, who is kicking butt and taking names in the suburbs of some city.
While we're crossing all the sci-fi craziness, might as well throw in Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, let's do that too. Let's do that one as well.
Why not?
And then she shows up and sees Arnold, and she's just like, hey, you look kind of familiar.
And all he does is give him a thumbs up.
Even better, those two are married.
Oh my God!
Arnold has since retired and married Linda Hamilton. That would be great.
And they have another son. John Jr.
I swear to God, if the next movie comes out and it is like that, I will not even be angry. I wouldn't try to sue or anything. I would just be like, this is amazing. I am seeing this movie.
Absolutely. Okay.
I want an Expendables-type Predator film. That is what I want now.
We've derailed a little bit, but it's okay. It's all in good fun. Oh, man.
Hey, we're still talking about the movie,
at least. That's true.
But yeah, so let's actually start off with the director. So we have Shane Black,
who is very, very established in Hollywood. A lot of you probably have seen plenty of films that he has done and enjoy them, but just did not know who the hell it was.
So let's go with just his filmography. This includes things that he wrote
and directed,
or produced or directed. So
which is way more than what he's acted in.
All right, so he acted in in Predator, very first one in 1987. He was at that time. He was also a writer for two movies that I know you know what they are:
Lethal Weapon,
and Monster Squad. Monster Squad was the crap because it was the Expendables horror film versus a bunch of kids. Like, they had Dracula, they had Frankenstein's monster, they had the mummy, the werewolf, you name it, they had it, and they were all fighting teenagers with like makeshift weapons. That was a good movie. Then he was in Predator. Let's see. He did some stuff working on the story for Lethal Weapon 2.
Mm-hmm.
Was the producer and writer of The Last Boy Scout.
Another excellent film with that has Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Yes.
It came out in 92, I believe.
He was the writer of Last Action Hero, which is one of my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Then he was the writer and producer for The Long Kiss Goodnight,
which is an excellent film with...
isn't it Gina Davis?
Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson,
yes. It's a great movie. And then he took a little bit of a break, and then he decided to do a directing debut and writing with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I will admit I have not actually seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but it's supposed to be a very good movie.
It is. It is a fairly decent flick. It's definitely, if you're a Val Kilmer film, definitely should be on your must-see list.
Then jump forward to 2013, and they give this man the writing and directing of one of Marvel's core franchises,
Iron Man 3. Yes.
And he let's see, that was a TV show that he did called Edge. Then 2016, he directed The Nice Guys. Then in 2018, he does The Predator. And now he has announced that he is directing and writing The Destroyer. I don't know what that is. And Doc Savage. Don't know what that is either.
No. But neither of them sound like the Expendables Predator sequel that we discussed.
No, but I mean, the movie just came out. So, I mean, like, let's give him, another two years at least.
We just gave him the idea. So
yes, I mean, like.
He's got to listen to the podcast.
I've got to post this one first. And then he can take the idea. Of which, Shane, if you want to take this idea, please do so. I'm not going to fight you for it. If you want to use it, use it. Just put down at the very end something like, like, just say grab your popcorn or something in the movie. I'll get it.
I'll get it.
I'll get a little, you know, wink, wink,
now,
like,
hey,
moment,
I
will be ecstatic.
I'll be just as ecstatic, but I would also not mind, you know, maybe some, like, you know, red carpet premiere stuff.
Yeah, maybe if we got a premiere. That'd be awesome. That'd be amazing.
So that is your director who
Shane,
is
yeah,
just,
Shane Black is one of these dudes who he is a solid action film director.
Absolutely.
Which is evidenced by the fact that, like, any problems that you really have with The Predator is, you know, be it with story or whatever, it is not with the action, because the action is superb.
Right.
It is great with gun battles, it is great with, like, the hand-to-hand combat stuff and like exceptionally well done.
I will do a little shout out real quick. My other buddy Brian, who is just as much, if not a bigger Predator fan than I am, you know, he kept a very close watch on a production of this film and whatnot. And one of the coolest tweets that he screenshotted and sent me when it was being made was by Shane Black, when it was, of course, up in the air. Will the Predator be PG-13? Will it be rated R? And he tweeted, "The Predator will be rated R. Spleens bleed a lot." So he kept true to it. He knew what the fans were wanting. He knew where the franchise needed to be at. It was never a doubt in his mind as for what it was. And so that gave me, you know, good immediate hope right away, you know, after reading that. And I just, of course, heard all sorts of good things coming out of production, little notes and, you know, forms being released and everything.
And, all right.
Who we got next?
Let us go through the cast. So let's go ahead and start with Boyd Holbrook, who plays Quinn McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
He has been going around since, looks like, 2008 is when he actually started. A couple of TV series spots. Let's see, he was on The Big C. The first thing I would have seen him in would have been The Hatfields and McCoys, the TV miniseries that they did. And, you know, he definitely was. I mean, I don't remember him as particularly in the movie, but or in that show. But that show was a very well done show.
I'm sure it definitely helped with his start and everything like that. And
then
of course,
he kind of did a few more things, playing some small parts and stuff like that. He's been on Narcos, which is one. He was in Logan as Pierce, which I think was the main bad guy.
Main bad guy, definitely.
And then he gets The Predator in 2018. And coming up, he's got Cashville 2/1 and In the Shadow of the Moon, all in post-production. I don't know what those are, but if you get a chance to check them out, please do so. Next up, we have Trevante Rhodes, not,
not
50 Cent.
Not Curtis Jackson.
Yeah, not Curtis Jackson. But I did see it. I was actually looking it up because I was going through some stuff. And there's like a feed on Reddit that says Trevante Rhodes should play 50 Cent in a biopic. So I'm not the only person who thinks that these two dudes look
alike.
I
totally admit it. As soon as you said that, I understand why you thought so. I never argued with you about it.
And I was looking at some of the other pictures of him. Like, he totally looks like a younger version of him now. So, but yes, Trevante Rhodes. Let's see. He's been acting since 2012, according to IMDb, at least. He did, like I said, a bunch of TV spots. And then he ended up on an episode of Westworld.
Westworld, yep. That's what I noticed was his, I think, one of the bigger ones. So it looks like this year he had The Predator come out first and then 12 Strong alongside one of the Hemsworth brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A good military movie. Heard it did pretty well, too.
And then The Predator and also the movie Bird Box. And he has nothing currently in the works that they show. But, I mean, dude was solid in this movie.
Oh, so absolutely.
I loved the character play that they did when he asked him, you know, what are you doing in here? And he goes, I shot my CO.
Oh, yeah, and it turns out he shot himself.
Yeah, it turns out that he shot himself, that he was suicidal. I was like, man, that's some good character development right there.
I also really enjoyed when they're in the barn, and he goes, what are you going to do with this guy? And he just shoves that guy's head through the board. He's like, oh, that was a stupid question.
All right, so let's see. Who do we got next? So Jacob.
Kid.
Yeah, Jacob Tremblay, who plays the son.
He's quite busy for a young man.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, he's been acting since 2013, doing TV movies, TV shows.
He was a voice in The Smurfs 2.
Yes.
And he was also the main boy in the movie Wonder with Owen Wilson.
Yep. That's right. Yeah,
he was also a friend. My wife watched this horror movie called Before I Wake. And he was the main boy in that, too. That was a extremely disturbing film. He did really good in it, though. That was an all right film.
I remember that one, actually. That was a crazy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So going up, though, he was in The Predator as Rory McKenna just after doing Wonder, which is an amazing film, actually. If you ever get a chance to watch Wonder, it's really interesting. And then now, like, he's got Good Boys, Dr. Sleep, apparently did some stuff on The Twilight Zone, and is now doing something, some type of untitled project that is currently filming.
By the way, in case you didn't, do you know what Dr. Sleep is about or what it is?
No.
You are going to flip out when you hear this. It is a follow-up to The Shining. He's going to play an adult Dan.
Nice!
Yes.
That'll be good.
Yes, 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 yes. So keep your eye out for that one. That'll be Dr. Sleep that comes out in 2020 as of right now.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about Keegan-Michael Key here because this man is one of the funniest human beings on Earth right now.
I tell you what, him and his partner, you know, they have created quite a name for themselves in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But after this movie, I'm definitely sold that he is definitely a well-rounded actor. And has quite a bit to offer. I do hope that he has a good agent, keeps getting picked up by stuff.
Yes. And what I think is great is the fact that they haven't just typecast him with Peele. You know,
right.
Peele's gone off and he's doing some of his own stuff.
Well, he directed his horror movie.
Which was amazing, actually.
Yeah, amazing and won awards and whatnot. So
yes.
They're not just your dumb comedy type guys. Like, they have some smarts.
Yeah. But, Key is definitely going out, and he's been acting in TV shows, doing dramatic work, and doing a lot of comedy stuff, too. But, yeah, he is a top-notch actor, and I'm pretty sure most of you know exactly who he is. So let's go on to Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn is, of course, always has been at the center of nerddom. She is one of these people that, you know, was a presenter on G4 back in the day.
Yeah, that was one of her main starts. That was,
yes.
You know, obviously a big hit for her and whatnot.
Which was, you know, a lot about video games and like movies and like
it was a big media outlet.
Yeah, and it was definitely one of the starts of embracing nerd culture.
Yes.
And so because of that, and because, you know, she was this you know, she was up there on screen and she was not like a stereotype, you know, she was cool and she was funny and she was doing all that. And then, you know, when people were like, well, she wants to, you know, try acting and stuff, people were like, okay, maybe. And then when she started acting, it turned out really, really good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's been cruising along ever since then. Let's see. So She is currently doing stuff on the TV show The Rook. She's got a movie coming out called The Buddy Games, a movie called Violet, and another movie called Die in a Gunfight. But yeah, check out some of her other stuff that she's been on. Actually, one of the best things I think she was on was she was in The Newsroom for two seasons as Sloane, and she was really, really good in that one as well. But she's been on a ton of different movies and TV shows, including that X-Men movie where she played Psylocke. Yeah, yep.
She was in X-Men Apocalypse, and she also she was in a horror movie with Eric Bana called Deliver Us from Evil.
Yes.
Didn't have a lot of screen time on it and whatnot, but that is an excellent film if you get around to seeing that one.
All right, so let's go move on to Sterling K. Brown.
This man right here is raking in lots of money in the last five years.
He is the man right now, as far as I am concerned.
I tell you what,
he is the absolute, like, okay, next to Milo Ventimiglia,
mm-hmm.
who is obviously the star of the show This Is Us. He is the linchpin of everything going on in that show. Sterling K. Brown is the other breakout actor from that show. He is so, so, so good on that show. It is absolutely ridiculous.
You know what was really funny? So I had a really good time watching this movie the first time around because when I, you know, my wife got to watch it with me. And we're sitting there, and of course he comes on screen. She gets all excited. Oh my God! Look, it's Randall. I'm like, yeah, I know. Just keep watching. And he drops his first F-bomb of the film. And she goes, Randall doesn't talk like that.
No.
And I'm like, well, that's why he's not Randall in this film. So I mean, it was really neat seeing him.
Yes.
That sort of like a serious dick sort of role, something.
Yes.
Polar opposite of what he is in This Is Us, but he totally nailed it.
He was also really good for his small part that he played in
Black Panther. Yes.
Where he was phenomenal. And he's got a bunch of stuff going on. But if you haven't seen This Is Us, then you're missing out on some of the best TV out right now. So, as far as dramas are concerned.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
It's an amazing drama. But let's see. He's got
a few things
the Rhythm
up.
Section coming up. He's got a movie called Waves. He's doing a voice for Angry Birds 2 and doing another voice for Frozen 2.
Yep.
Because why not? But here is also one of the other reasons as to why Sterling K. Brown is near and dear to our hearts. This man is from St. Louis.
Woo! Represent!
Which is our home area. I currently live in St. Louis, but we've always been within 10 miles of the city, no matter what. It's like growing up. You know, we are Cardinals and Blues fans and, you know, all of that. But the other cool thing is that after he got famous on This Is Us, one of my friends who I worked with in radio, she had posted a picture of her standing next to Sterling K. Brown. And she said in the post, "I am so proud of my cousin." And I was like, "Are you really cousins with him?" And she goes, "Yeah." It's like,
wow.
I've known him my whole life. I was like, you know, sometimes you say cousin, you don't really mean cousin. Like, no, she's legit her cousin or his cousin, and like just like posted a picture with him, and I was just like, holy cow.
That is awesome.
So it's like it's like my you know, like six steps to Kevin Bacon or whatever. It's like mine to Sterling K. Brown is like her, him. Like that's my steps.
Woo!
I'm one step from Sterling K. Brown. Not to mention, like I'm perfectly fine with my sexuality. This man is a good-looking man. That's all I know. All right.
Next.
That's all I'm saying. Next. you can totally do this next one, though. This one is all you.
Oh, yeah?
Go for it.
We got next on the list, Thomas Jane, who plays Baxley in the film, who has Tourette's and absolutely nails it in every sense of the word. This man right here has been acting for quite a while as well. We're going to get through his hits as well.
Get the highlights.
But mine, for me, the first breakout role that I remember him as, that I will always remember him as, is The Punisher.
Yes. He was very good as The Punisher.
He has just one of the best stern looks that, you know, a guy can give. And when you embody The Punisher, when you read a comic of The Punisher, I mean, 90%, you know, of the strips and everything like that are of that expression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to have just a strong personality and a strong persona to really pull that off. And boy, did he. So he's been acting in a few things since the early 90s. And he's one of the ones that I find funny is he was actually in one of the sequels to The Crow. He was one of the henchmen for the group.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He was in the Crow, City of Angels. He was also in Magnolia.
Yes.
Good 90s drama right there. Oh, he was in a great Stephen King based book. He was in Dreamcatcher.
Yes.
Alongside Morgan Freeman and a slew of other people.
Jason Lee.
Yep. And then, of course, he had Punisher. And then he did so well as a Punisher and liked doing the role so much. The Punisher got its own video game. For PlayStation 2 and original Xbox. He did the voice for the game.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty neat. So fast forward a little bit. He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
As the vegan police.
Yes.
One of the vegan police, which is one of the best cameos. Because it was just like, wait, why in the world did he show up here?
Because he could.
As vegan police.
So, fast forward a couple more years, there is this drama who my wife got me into. She watched it and said, I must sit down. I must watch this. It's called I Melt With You. He plays alongside Rob Lowe and Jeremy Piven.
Mm.
And if that's not a good enough cast for you to watch the movie, you just have too high of standards. Then he went on to HBO, did a TV series on there called Hung, which was pretty decent. You got to have a little bit open mind to watch that show with what it's based around. Then he looks like he did a whole bunch of sort of under the radar indie films.
Yeah, he definitely did a bunch of those.
And nothing too crazy. And
go ahead.
And but fast forward a little bit, the movie horror movie that we mentioned with the boy Before I Wake, he plays his father.
Yes.
So this was their second movie.
Speaking of horror movies, though, he was also in another very well-known horror movie known as The Mist.
Oh, he was in that. Oh, and I must have passed it up on his list. He was also in Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
Which is another good one.
The Mist, however, is actually credited as having one of the most tragic endings to any movie, like, ever made.
Wow.
And I can't tell you what it is because it'll ruin it for you. It's like, but if you haven't seen The Mist, like, it's all horror movie right up into the end, and then it's just heartbreaking.
I'll put that on my list. So then he actually got onto a Netflix film called 1922.
Yeah.
And I watched that with my wife, and boy, was that all sorts of creepy as well. So he is a very, very well-rounded actor that can definitely do a good bit of drama.
Yeah.
He does great with his comedic relief in this film, having Tourette's.
Yeah.
Key plays off of that. They're actually buddies in the film, and they go back and forth.
Yeah. He is currently on The Expanse, the TV series, which I have been told is very good. I haven't actually seen it yet.
I've never heard of it.
It's a sci-fi show. That's all I know. It involves a crew in space. But he's got a movie coming out called Crown Vic and another movie called The Orchard, which is currently filming. So let's go ahead and do real quick.
Yes.
Alfie Allen, who is, of course, the brother of Lily Allen, the British singer. But Alfie Allen has become famous in his own right, despite the fact that my first reference to him was the song Alfie by Lily Allen, where she is really not kind to him. But they've gotten better since then.
Well,
so he started acting and started doing a bunch of stuff, you know, where he was, because he's been doing stuff since... Oh, geez. Apparently he was doing
90s,
stuff in
the late 90s.
Yeah, he was doing, he did like one thing in 1988, then he was in 1998, and just kept going kind of from that point. And like doing TV shows and all sorts of stuff where he, let's see, Close to the Enemy, where he was played a character named Ringwood. But then Alfie Allen got his real breakout role in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Where he plays Theon Greyjoy, a.k.a. Reek, and has one of the most tragic storylines in the entire series, especially because it's still going on, too. So it's like you never, But he like starts out all cool and he's like, all right, I'm here and blah, blah, blah. And then like where the show currently is or where the book currently is, like he is the most broken human being like in the entire world at that point. And so it's really cool to see, though, that he's actually still doing some other stuff. So he does The Predator, where he plays Lynch. He's going to be in a movie called Jojo Rabbit, where he plays Finkel. And he's in another movie called How to Build a Girl,
right,
which is currently in post-production. So, but Alfie is one of these guys that I like. I really like watching him because he's a solid actor. And so he was amazing in John Wick.
Oh yeah, because he was the main,
he was like the main bad guy.
Yeah,
for the most
part. The guy that wanted the car.
Yes, wanted the car. That's what I thought. He's the one who kills the dog and
ensues.
Yes,
everything. The boogeyman. So next on the list we have the character Nettles, played by Augusto Aguilera.
Aguilera, yes.
Yes,
And he is.
He doesn't have a lot under his belt. He seems to be still up and coming as well.
Yes, he's been doing some stuff. He's been on some TV shows and all of that, including he's on currently on the TV show Too Old to Die Young, where he plays a character. I don't know if it's Jesus or Jesus. Either way, spelled that way.
I do remember seeing a preview for that show. It is, I believe, on FX, and it looked like a pretty interesting kind of like dark drama.
Yeah. All right, so let's do some quick ones here. We got Jake Busey, who is, of course, in Starship Troopers, the movie Contact, The Frighteners. He is currently on Stranger Things. I mean, Jake Busey is he's been around ever since his father got into acting and he was there and he instantly started doing other movies. He's one of these dudes that, like, he shows up and you're just like, holy crap, it's Jake Busey. So yes, there is that, and then the final one here, we will do. Okay, now maybe I'll do one more after that, but Ivan Strahovski, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she has been around for a good bit now, and she of course was on Dexter. She has been on, Handmaid's Tale, The Astronaut Wives Club, 24, Live Another Day, and, of course, she was on the TV show Chuck for all of its seasons, which is where I know her from. And, but she's been going on for a good bit since 2004 and still going strong as far as I am concerned. The next movie she has coming out is called Angel of Mine, which will be out in 2019. And then just because, why not, let's go ahead and talk about Brian A. Prince.
A.K.A. The Predator.
He is The Predator. They don't say which Predator. They just say he is The Predator.
That's very. It could very well be. He might have been both.
So he's only so far got a few things to his credit, but he has done stunts before in The Walking Dead, Captain America Civil War, and Black Panther. He is well known for doing parkour and some stuff like that, but hopefully he's actually going to get a little bit more in the future. It'd be super nice to actually keep track of him and see what he can do. But yes, that is the cast of The Predator, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed our little discussion so far, but I want to get into actual breakdowns of this movie. So here's the issue that I have. We haven't talked about if we actually really liked the movie or not.
No, we saved that. We want to make sure everybody understood what it was and get the key points out there.
So I am a man that is split on this movie.
Okay.
Because I went into it and like most movies, I don't go into it with many expectations. Okay, I don't have a plan of like, this is what I want to see, this is how I want this movie to go, any of that kind of crap. And that's why if anybody ever complains to me about The Last Jedi and I'm just a fanboy and the movie was like, it just wasn't the movie that I wanted or whatever, I didn't go into that movie expecting anything other than to be entertained. And I just wasn't. I'm sorry. I just wasn't. So I try not to go into movies with expectations for it. If you go into this movie without expectations and you just like watch the action movie for the action movie that it is. Because action movies can get away with a lot of plot holes and like that kind of stuff, so long as the setup is good and the action is very well done. This movie does that. It is very well done as far as action sequences are concerned. The acting is good, in my opinion. Everybody does their part extremely well. And then this is where I run into the other part of it, though, is that you said in the very beginning, this is a comedy action film or an action comedy, however you want to place it. And the other Predator movies are not.
No.
And that's where I'm kind of like, you know, where does it actually fit as far as like my rank against these other movies? I kind of have to place it in last. Of the four, I've got to rank it fourth. Because while I enjoyed it, I didn't enjoy it as much as the other three. And that's kind of like where I'm at. So I've got to give this movie a five.
Five.
It's in the middle.
It's right in the middle.
Smack dab in the middle. It's good for what it is, but there are better action movies out there. There are better Predator movies out there. There, like, everything is, for me, is okay about the movie, minus a few plot holes, as to be expected with pretty much anything. But it's just one of those things where I don't feel that it necessarily lived up to the other movies as far as a Predator movie goes.
There you go.
What do you got?
Oh, I am a little bit higher.
Well, of course, but that's to be expected.
Well, I could go lower.
No. I'm just saying.
No, I am a little bit higher. Not too much. So I only give it a 7. So it gets a passing grade for me. Because as we agree on, it is a very entertaining film. The acting in it is, pretty good and everything like that. Everyone that was casted delivered what they were supposed to. Nothing was really unbelievable from them. And whatnot.
How would you rank this against the other movies though? Like if this is a four set of movies, which order are you going to watch these in? As far as like favorites,
I place it one above you, so I would go 1, 2, 4, 3.
Okay.
And the only reason I do that is because like the third one,
Predators,
with Adrian Brody, for there being three of them, and then for them also having all of their equipment that they had for the tracking and whatnot, I felt that even with them being the high echelon, soldiers that they were, there's no way that they could have survived as long nor killed that many predators or whatever like that. That's my opinion, and that's just how I felt about the film. Plus, I really did not like how they did Lawrence Fishburne's character.
Yeah, that was a little weird. So.
I still can't grasp it. It's not me. I think of Morpheus, calm, cool, collective, ready to whoop everyone's ass, and you just have this crazy old ass dude stuck in the jungle, surviving on his own, and he doesn't even really like do much or whatever like that. And it left a bad taste in my mouth. So it gets a 7. It gets a little bump up, but there were still a lot of things that they could have done better, and some things as for like detail wise or continuity wise that I noticed that I was not happy with.
Yeah.
Especially involving the super predator and the final scenes between him and the humans. If you see it, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. If not, please feel free to reach out to me and we can discuss it, and I can have you see where I'm coming from with it. But as you said though, Brian, it's still an entertaining film. Don't go into it expecting the stars and the moon with it. Just go in there, laugh with it.
Yeah.
Be entertained by the kills that were done in it and whatnot, because honestly, that's why I watch a Predator film is to see what kind of ways or what kind of new little gadgets the Predator is going to be using.
Yes, absolutely. So you gave it a 7, I give it a 5. I rank it last in my list of Predator movies. Well, of the core Predator movies.
Yeah,
didn't include AVP in that list.
Nope.
And you ranked it third. So that's still, we still are in agreement on the first two being the superior films.
Absolutely.
And they're amazing. And I could watch those anytime. But that's been it for us. If you want to reach out to us, please find us on Facebook. We have a group called Grab Your Popcorn. And you can come on there and argue with us to your heart's content. I will gladly argue with anybody on that about movies. I don't like to argue about real things, you know, like politics or religion. That's not entirely true. I like to argue about those too. But I like to argue about movies even more. So please get on there and find us, and we will, you know, answer any questions or do whatever we can to interact with our group. Also, just want to give a special shout out to David's wife, Franny. You are awesome. Thanks for keeping me in check as far as getting stuff done, because I get super busy with things, but you're awesome and I love you. Yeah, that's about it for that. Please just check out our other shows. We review all of our movies, and we put them up there, and we post them on YouTube and stuff too. Please check out anything else if you are just finding us for the first time. I have been your host, Brian Kroc, and along with me has been David Kalista. And remember, folks, grab your popcorn.
Good night, everybody.